Well, good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Did you enjoy the worship?
Yeah.
Let's give the Lord a big hand, please. Albert,
yes,
you want to share something?
Yes, sir.
Please come.
Right, my name is Albert. I've been coming here for the last 16 months. And the Lord has done quite a lot for me. And very recently, he's done quite a wonderful thing. For those of you that were here about 2 weeks ago, I asked Rian to anoint this cloth because I was going down to Durban to see my family. A week prior to that, we had a phone call stating that one of my nephew's son, had a car accident, a bad one. So bad that they took 2 hours to take him out of that vehicle. His girlfriend was pregnant. She's pregnant of 5.5 months. 20-year-old. Recently, he was involved with substance. It was very bad. His one hand was nearly severed off. The tendons was bad. When I heard that, in one way, I felt sorry for him. But the Lord somehow came to me and he said, look, don't feel sorry for him. Do something for him. And he put in my heart that I must, while I was going down to Durban, as planned, I must go and see him and pray for him. I was going to Pine Down, and he is in Stanger, which is about 100 k's away. But that didn't bother me a bit. I wanted to travel. However, when I got down to Durban, I found out he was still in hospital. I heard before that he was discharged, but the next thing he's back in hospital. His back went into spasm. So he had to go back. And I found out on a Sunday, as I was about to leave, that he was leaving hospital. So I had to delay my journey and travel back to Stanger. When I got there, I found the young man, he couldn't walk. He had a special crouch with a little support for his arm. He couldn't move his hand. He could hardly walk. I took him outside. I sat him down, and I started talking to him, telling him what was all about, because I didn't know what to expect. He has been out there in the world. Would he accept the word of God? Would not accept the word of God? But God has sent me there, so I dipped on my heart. I knew that he would accept it, and he said yes. So I proceeded to lay him down, took him inside, lay him down on the couch, and I started praying with him. And I said to him that even if he doesn't want to accept what I want to tell him, what I'm going to pray for him, he must just let me do what God wanted me to do. But he said, no, I must go ahead and do it. So I started praying what really the Lord led me to pray. And I laid this on him and I told him that the Lord at times would touch him in different ways. And I didn't tell him how the Lord touches you. And I simply told him that it takes one touch, godly touch, to heal him. And I started praying, I laid hands on him. And for about 15 minutes, we prayed. And eventually, we prayed, and I felt that the Lord had done what I felt that the Lord had healed him, so to speak. And we stopped praying, and I asked him to what he felt. And then and then, he lifted up his hand, and he moved his fingers, says, this is what I feel. Okay? So he couldn't move his fingers. After we prayed, I said, what about your leg? He stood up and he says, I can move my leg. Amen. All right. I said to him, praise God. I said to him, look, I felt that the Lord is still, that wasn't finished with him. So I said, look, you must just accept what the Lord wants to do for you and pray and thank the Lord every day of your life. Now it's a new responsibility. You're going to be a dad. As a young boy, he's 20 years old, but still, he has to take responsibility. and I left him there. I didn't phone back to find out how he was doing, because I deep down knew what God had done for him. However, yesterday, my sister-in-law, his grandmother, phoned Vera. He had gone back into Durban for a checkup. The doctor already removed part of something or the other that he had on his hand that is now moving his hand. But 17 or 18 pins on his leg, he is now moving his leg. And praise God.
Amen.
Amen. Now, one thing I want to express here is that we must not forget to give glory to God. If God uses anyone, give glory to God on a daily basis. God has done much more for me, but I'll share it some other time. And has done great things. I'll praise God. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
There's a clock, you can recharge it, give it to someone. To
Amen. Yeah, praise God. God is good, eh?
Amen.
You know, we've said this before, we've said this many times, but it's always worth saying again, we serve a supernatural God.
Amen.
And that's what makes it amazing and wonderful, because in this world, there's a lot of limitations. There's a lot of things that cannot be done. There's a lot of things that cannot be cured. There's a lot of things that cannot be fixed, not through the normal channels. And when we are confronted with a situation like that, we are not in despair. And the reason we are not in despair is because we serve the God of miracles. We serve the healer. We serve the deliverer. We serve the redeemer. And when his power starts working in our life or the life of somebody that we pray for, anything can happen, just like what happened to this gentleman. Albert, like she said, your obedience was key to God touching your nephew. God bless you and your family. Amen. Last week we spoke about faith. We spoke about faith and we spoke about doubt and how the devil uses these things to bring destruction into our life and to limit us. And today I want to show you some of the benefits of having faith. There's a scripture that you all know, and you all know it very, very well. But let me just quote it to you again. It comes from the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. And it says, "And without faith, it is impossible to please God." Let me just see, who of you believes that it is important for us to please God somehow with our life? It's important, don't you agree? Now, the Bible says if you want to please God, there's this one thing that has to be present in your life. If it's not there, then you cannot please God. I want to put it to you this way. Maybe this is not the way that you've thought about it before, but you should think about it this way. Let's say you want to do something for God. Let's say you want to become involved in pouring coffee and tea for the people. If you're not doing it by faith, you are not pleasing God. All right? Now, I know you do it by faith. And this is no reflection on you whatsoever. But let's just put it out there. Let's say I want to do the coffee and tea because I want to be noticed. I want to do the coffee and tea because I want people to see me and I want people to know that I'm doing something good for people. Now, you are doing it to get the glory. You are not doing it by faith. You cannot be pleasing God. In the same way, I can be preaching here tonight and I can be like, you know what, as long as the people are happy with the way that I preach and as long as the people tell me that I've preached a good sermon, then according to me, I've done a good job. No, because if I don't do it by faith, I'm not pleasing God. And if I'm not pleasing God, the anointing and the power of God is not here and nothing is going to happen. So you see, everything that we do, we must do by faith. If you want to do anything for God, you know, I've got some ladies here that cruise around, and when the people fall, they take the little luppy and they put it on them. If you don't do it by faith, you're not pleasing God. You must do it to please God. You must do it by faith. When Albert went and he prayed for his nephew, he went and he prayed by faith. He had an expectation that even though things are bad, when he goes there to pray and God steps in, something is going to change. And because he had faith, Albert, you pleased God. And because you pleased God, the power of God came down. Amen. Now, last week we spoke about doubt. We spoke about unbelief and we spoke about how destructive that is to our faith. Today I want to show you how important it is for us to have faith and what doors will be opened for you in the kingdom of God if you do have faith. So Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, and without faith it is impossible to please God. So faith is the only way to please God. Some people pat themselves on the back, oh, but you know what, I put 200 rand in the offering basket, and for me that's a lot of money. Well, if you didn't do it by faith, you're still not pleasing God. Or if you did it so that the person next to you could see that, or if you did it so that you can go and tell people, oh, you know what, me, I'm battling, but at least I gave 200 rand in the offering basket, you're not pleasing God. You have to do it by faith. The only thing, the only medium that will please God is faith. Now, what are some of the blessings that are released in our life when we begin to live a life of faith? The first blessing that comes to us is the remission of our sins. We get that in the book of Acts chapter 10 verse 43, and it says, all the prophets testify about him, that is Jesus, that everyone who believes in him. Now I want to just stop there and I want to say, if you believe in him, it means you have faith in him. So you have faith, right? So the scripture says here, all the prophets testify about him that everyone who believes in him receives the forgiveness of their sins. Raise your hands if you know that you've messed up. Now, I want to say something to you. If you don't raise your hands right now, then you have a lying spirit in you, and then probably you must come for prayer. You know what I mean? We all mess up. We all commit sin somewhere. We do things that we know we're not supposed to do. Now, here's what the scripture says. If we have faith in Jesus Christ, through our faith, we receive from him the remission, which means he wipes out our sins. Another blessing that comes to us when we live a life of faith and when we have faith in God is justification. Now, the word justification sounds like a very big word, but it sort of means that we are placed in good standing and in the right standing with God. And we find that in the book of Romans chapter 5 verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we now have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. How can you come to a place where you can say that I have peace with God? When you have faith. You see, what I'm trying to show you is there's a reason why Satan will try and attack your faith. Because Satan knows that if you begin to live your life by faith, then you are going to be in a place where you're going to be experiencing supernatural power. You will be experiencing the blessings of God, and the kingdom of God will manifest in your life. And you see, when all of these things start happening, the devil's going to get a hiding. Because wherever you go, the power of God will work through you, and you will make a change. You will make a difference. And every time that you make a difference for God, the devil loses ground in somebody's life, or in an area, or in a school, or even in a church. Satan hates men and women of faith. He loves to give us doubt. He loves to give us unbelief. Even tonight, while I'm busy preaching, some of you are going to hear this word say, ah, but that's not for you. Ah, it's not really like that. Ah, it's wishful thinking. You put your foot down and you tell that thing to footsack, because that's exactly how the devil operates. Satan does not want you to act on your faith. He doesn't want you to live a life of faith. And when you are confronted with the truth and the reality of faith and what faith is, he will always try and cut you off. A lot of people, when they sit in church and we preach the word, now take into account that the Bible says, therefore now faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. So whenever the word of God is being preached, it is an opportunity for you to grow in faith. Sometimes I see people sit and sleep in my meetings. I'm not 100% sure whether I'm boring or whether it's just a late hour. But in any case, let me just say this. If you like to sit and sleep in these meetings, you are missing out on a very empowering opportunity to receive more faith. Because faith comes by hearing. But faith doesn't come by hearing another bad joke or a dirty joke or some gossip, or some slander, or some lies. Faith comes when you hear the word. Because when you get filled with the word of God creates supernaturally within you faith. Now, when we receive more faith, we receive more power. Because our level of faith is directly related to the power that we will manifest in the kingdom of God. I shared with you last week that the disciples once tried to cast a demon out of a boy. The father brought the boy there and he said to the disciples, listen, yeah, you've been praying for people, please, my son needs prayer, he's got this demon in him. The disciples started to pray, the demon manifested. After hours and hours and hours of going backwards and forwards and backwards and forwards, the demon would not leave. And the father in desperation came to Jesus and said, Lord, please have mercy on my son. I took him to your disciples and they tried to cast out his demons, but they could not. Jesus answered, O ye of little faith. Jesus said the reason why the disciples could not cast the demon out was because they did not have enough faith. So if we don't have a lot of faith, we can't experience the power of God so much. And Satan knows that. Therefore, Satan will always try and attack your faith. And one of the ways that Satan tries to attack your faith is when you are in a place where the word of God is being preached, sometimes it's the spirit of slumber will come upon you. Yes, there is a demon called slumber. Let's all put him under our feet right now. Take your foot and put it down. You say, I take authority over the spirit of slumber, the spirit of confusion, the spirit of doubt, and the spirit of unbelief. Shut up, futsack, and get out of here now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Ah, there we go. There we go. All right. So, Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through our faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Because we have faith in Christ, we are in a position where we are in good standing, in the right standing with God. We are in a place of peace with God. The next blessing that comes through faith is salvation. We all know that, but the scripture says in the book of Acts chapter 16 verse 31, they replied, believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. You and your household. How's this? Your faith can save your household. Amen. How many of you have people in your household that are not saved? Come, don't be ashamed now. And let's just say that your household is not just your house. Your household is your family. They don't have to be living in your house. Just wave at me. All right, now here's what the scripture says. If you have faith, and because you have faith, God will use your faith to power some supernatural change and transformation that will take place in their life. It doesn't have to be today. It doesn't have to be tomorrow because God's in charge, not you. But you keep having faith. You keep having faith for them. And somehow the power of God is going to begin to move in their lives. You think the devil likes that? Listen, Satan hates it when people come to salvation because that means he's a loser. Well, the good news is Satan is a loser, always was and always will be. And he hates to lose. And therefore, he doesn't want you to grow in your faith. He wants you to doubt. He wants you to be confused. He wants you to have unbelief. I know I've shared this story before, but just to show you how powerful these things can sometimes be. Many years ago, I had a woman coming to my meetings, and she came to me afterwards, and she said, Pastor, please pray for me. I said, what do you want me to pray for? She says, I never understand anything you say. I thought, wow, I don't speak in such a high way that, you know, I don't use these big words. I said, what exactly is it that you don't understand? She says, I don't know. Nothing ever makes any sense to me. I thought, no, this is not normal. And you know what? When I counseled her, it turned out that I'm not the only one that she doesn't understand. Whenever she walks into a church and she understands the announcements, she understands when they talk about upcoming events and this and that and wada wada. The moment they begin to preach the word of God, something starts happening to her that she gets completely confused. Nothing makes any sense to her until the pastor says amen, and everything he says after that, she understands. She had a whole bunch of demons in her. Not one of them was happy when the word of God was preached. And they would put her in a place of total confusion. They would scramble her thoughts while the word of God was given. And only when those demons were cast out of her did she begin to enter a place where she could sit through a sermon and understand the entire sermon. And for the first time, God could speak to her. Does Satan like the word of God? No. Why? Because the word of God is power. The word of God is life. The word of God is that double-edged sword that can cut through into us and cut the rubbish out of us. But then it must first be allowed to enter us. And Satan doesn't want that. So yes, we have salvation as one of the blessings that come because of our faith. And the Bible gives us a promise. Because of our faith, not only will God save you, but God will save your household. How many mothers in this place? Wave at me. That's a promise for your children. Because of your faith, God says, I will save your children and your grandchildren. And you hold this promise before God. Every now and then you bring this promise before God and you say, Lord, you gave me a promise. My children will not fall by the wayside. And if I have a mother or a father here today, and your children are in the world right now, and they're not serving God, this promise is still for them. Why does God give promises? It's not just for when it goes good. It's sometimes for when we go through those dry patches, those difficult times. It's something to hold on to. It's something that we can keep bringing before God and say, Lord, this is your promise, and I will put my faith in your promise, and I refuse to allow doubt and confusion and unbelief to take power over me. Your promise says my children will serve God. And you know what? One day, your child is going to walk into your house and say, Mom, you'll never guess what happened. Somebody walked past me in the street, started talking to me. The power of God came upon me, and I don't even know what happened, but I accepted Jesus Christ. I'm just giving you a stupid example. Or, how's this? They meet a new girlfriend. The girlfriend's father is a spiritual man. He's a godly man. The father says, well, you know what? If this man wants to date you, I want to see who he is, and he needs to come to church with us. So he goes to church to impress the girlfriend, but that day there's anointing and power in the church. Boom, zap. All his demons get arrested, and guess what? For the first time, he understands the concept of salvation. He accepts Jesus Christ, but why? Because you had faith. Amen? Because you held God to that promise and you refused to let go. The next blessing that we have that comes because of our faith is called sanctification. For those of you that don't understand what sanctification is, an easy way to understand it is to be purified. Acts chapter 26 verse 18 says, to open their eyes and to turn them from their darkness into light, and from the power of Satan to the power of God, so that they might receive forgiveness of their sins and a place among those who are sanctified by their faith in me. When we have faith, we go through what the Bible calls sanctification, which means that God helps us to deal with the rubbish in our life. I want to ask you a question. Do you understand the concept that we are not born Christians? You are not born a child of God. You are not born a Christian. You become a child of God. You become a Christian when you accept Jesus Christ. The Bible says, to all that have accepted Jesus Christ, God has given the right to be called children of God. So something has to happen in your life for you to become a child of God. Now, sin defiles us. Who ya got saved roughly in their 20s? There. All right, quite a lot of you. You got saved roughly in your 20s. Or let's just say in your adult years. You got saved in your adult years. Now here's my question. How much did you mess up in the years before you got saved? Why are you smiling at me like that? You know something I don't know, right? The devil knew you very well, didn't he? Well, he knew us all well, because we belong to him. Now the thing is, even though we come into salvation and we receive the remission of our sins, we are still defiled inside. There's still rubbish inside of us. You can be a Christian and have hatred in your heart. It's not right, but it could be there. In the same way, you can be a Christian and serve God and be full of rejection. You can be a Christian and serve God and be full of fear. You can be a Christian and be serving God and be full of bitterness, frustration, irritability, anger, hatred. You know what? The list is endless. Now, here's the thing. Salvation doesn't just get rid of all of that stuff. When we go through sanctification, we start getting cleansed of all of this rubbish. Do you understand that? And the more we grow in our faith, the more the stuff gets washed out, gets cleaned out. You know, faith comes by hearing and hearing comes by the word. If faith cleanses us and the word is the way we get faith, the more time we spend under good teaching, the more we get cleansed. Some of you don't realize it, but right now you're in a spa bath. The word of God is busy washing you and cleansing you. It's creating faith in you, and through your faith comes sanctification. So right now, your spirit is receiving the opportunity to be cleansed. I'm going to give you a stupid example. You know, when you were 14 years old and you discovered pornography for the first time, you thought that was a bargain, but it wasn't. Because Satan will use that against you. And sometimes that's why some people battle in their faith. Because this thing is between them and God. But while you're sitting here and you're allowing the word of God to come in, you might not know it, but it's starting to wash in that area. Or when you were 16 years old and that girlfriend dumped you and that big hurt came into your soul and you've never really 100% got over it, that's like something that defiled your soul. That rejection, that backstabbing, when she went and she spoke certain things over you and belittled you in front of people. Well, you see, here's the thing. Sitting under good teaching and allowing the word of God to come into you and wash you. Two things are happening. Your faith is growing and the faith is producing in you sanctification. And you know, sometimes when you leave the church, you feel lighter. Who's had that before? All right. You know why? Because while you were sitting here, the Holy Spirit, because of your faith growing, started working inside of you. You gave him the opportunity to work with you. So the next time you have to choose between the Sunday night premiere on Mnet and going to church, you should understand that you want to go to church. Why? Because there's things in your life that need to be dealt with. And if you don't give God the opportunity to do so, he can't do it. And if you allow your faith to grow, then that'll also bring cleansing for your soul. And we all need some cleansing in our soul, don't we? And let's ask the question, how long does that process take? It's going to take forever. It'll take forever. As long as we are down here, listen here, somewhere next year, somebody's going to hurt you again. You'll be exposed to things that's not good. And sanctification will come and cleanse you again. Amen? But if you give God the opportunity, he can work with you. Another blessing that comes to us because of our faith is called spiritual light. In John 12, verse 36, it says, "Put your trust in the light while you have it, so that you may become sons of the light." The Bible says God is light, and in him there is no darkness whatsoever. When we begin to trust, put our faith, our hope, and our trust in God, and we have faith in him, then something begins to happen. His life begins to come into our life. His light begins to come into our light. Close your eyes quickly. Right now you should be seeing darkness. Darkness is a state which can simply be termed the absence of light. That's all darkness is. Darkness is the absence of light. Now, if you have to perform everyday menial tasks while you are in darkness, will you be impeded, yes or no? Yes, you will. Impeded means, will you battle? Yes. Will it be more difficult? Okay, I'll give you a stupid example. Let's say I drop my pen. Okay, where's my pen? Okay, I don't have a pen, but I have a sweet. Here's my sweet. If I drop my sweet, we're gonna do a test with Tony. Tony, come stand here with me. You can open your eyes. Listen, are you from Springs? I'm just checking, eh? Here's a sweet. If you can find it, you can eat it. The second time, not the first time. Here's the first time. I dropped the sweet. Find it for us and pick it up. All right. Was it difficult?
No.
It was easy. Right, close your eyes. Let's just make sure that he doesn't know exactly where he is. Now you must close your eyes. Close, 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 close. Are they closed? Okay, find the sweet. It's not there. Did somebody steal it? No, I didn't. All right, open your eyes. That's there. You see, it was easy for him when he could see. No, you can have it. It's fine. It was easy for him while he could see. But it became extremely difficult, if not impossible, for him when he couldn't see. Now, here's the thing. The Bible says, when we have faith in God, we will become sons of the light. In other words, the more our faith in God grows, the more the light of God comes into our life. Now, you need light to see. And I'm not just talking about seeing in the physical. I'm talking about seeing in the spiritual. God has a plan for your life. But in order for you to understand what God's plan for your life is, you have to have spiritual insight into things. You have to have the light. When God illuminates your understanding to know where you must go, what you must do, how you must handle situations. There's a lot of people, even though they have somewhere in the past accepted Jesus Christ, they have very little faith. They got very little light. And they keep making the same mistakes over and over and over again. Do you want to be one of those people that keep bumping your head on the same place? No. Then you need some light. Because in darkness, you will keep walking into the same obstacles, not knowing that they are there. But when the light comes and you allow the light to manifest through you because of your faith, you're going to begin to see things differently. You will begin to see the obstacles. You know, it's extremely easy for Satan to take somebody without vision out of the running. When you try and go forward in the darkness and I roll an obstacle in your path, you won't know it's there. You will hit it and you will fall. And some people, when they fall, they battle to get back up. Some people never get back up. And that's how the devil takes people out of the race. So what must we do? Grow in our faith, because as we grow in our faith, we have more light. The next blessing that comes to us because of our faith is called spiritual life. In John 20, verse 31, it says, "But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name." In other words, the Bible says, when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we receive life. There are two opposites here, life and death. Which one would you like? Because the absence of life is simply death. We need life. And I'm not talking about your heart beating. Yes, you need that as well. But you need spiritual life. You need the life of Christ. Jesus said, "I have come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." The life that Jesus made available to us is a life that conquered sin. It is a life that conquered sickness. It is a life that conquered every devil, every demon, every curse. It is a life that conquered even death. Which life do you want? A meager existence? Going through the motions from day to day? Not knowing whether things are ever going to change for you? Or do you want to have that abundant life? Well, you see, here's the thing. Because of our faith in Christ, we are placed in a position that more and more we begin to manifest in our own lives what the Bible calls abundant life. Look at your neighbor and say, abundant life is available to you through faith. It's no use. You say to me, "But Rian, I insist I have to have this abundant life. God has to bless me. God has to prosper me." But you have no faith. Because faith is the key that unlocks abundant life. Faith is the key that unlocks spiritual light. Faith is the key that unlocks sanctification. Faith is the key that unlocks justification. It unlocks the remission of sins. The next blessing is called eternal life. In the book of John, chapter 3, verse 15, it says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life." My friend, some people believe some really strange things, but let me just tell you something. There is an afterlife. You know, death to some people is just the big sleep. I'm going to go and lie in that coffin and I'm going to rest, and I'm going to rest forever. That's not biblical. Death is simply passing from one state of existence to another state of existence, and there is a life after death. But where you end up in the afterlife is determined by what you believe in this life. And you better believe the right stuff in this life. Otherwise, you're going to end up in a place that you're going to be very sorry for yourself. But there will be no hope for you. So, because of our faith in Jesus Christ, we can enter into what the Bible calls eternal life. Amen? The next blessing that is available to us because of our faith is called rest in heaven. In the book of Hebrews chapter 4 verse 3 it says, now we who have believed will enter into that rest just as God has said. And he's speaking to the time when we will be with God. How many of you have worked very hard down here? Your fingers to the bone. Well, yes, some good news. There's a promise that there will come a time where we will swap this hustle and bustle, the madness, all the hard work, the toil, the labor, everything that we experience down here for a time where we will enter truly into the rest of God. To some extent, we can enter into it, yeah. But please remember that the earth down here is not always a nice place. But one day when we get to God, all we will have is the peace of God, the joy of God, the life of God. And all of that together equals rest. Amen? The next blessing that is available to us because of our faith is called edification. In the book of Jude chapter 1 verse 20 it says, but you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit. Edification is to be uplifted, is to be built up. Now, how many of you can do with God lifting you up? How are we lifted up? Because of our faith. Listen to what he says. He says, but you, dear friends, build yourself up in your most holy faith. In other words, as we grow in our faith, more and more we will be elevated, elevated, elevated by the Holy Spirit of God. Amen? Amen. All right, so looking at it from that perspective, tonight you are here hearing the word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. As your level of faith increases, so your edification will also increase, so God will more and more begin to uplift you. Anybody in this place now and then feel like they're stuck in a pit? A lot of people now and then feel like they're stuck in a pit. How do you get out of the pit? You must be uplifted. When you spend time in a meeting like this, when you allow the Word of God to fill you, a lot of different things are happening to you. But one of the things that's happening is slowly but surely God is lifting you up. Amen? Amen. Praise God. The next one is preservation. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 5 it says, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation that is ready to be revealed. Now, what I want to show you is the Bible speaks of a people, which is the ones who, in through faith in Christ, are shielded by God's power. I don't know about you, but I figured out one thing. There are a lot of problems down here in this world. There are a lot of chochos out there. There's a lot of scaly things. There's a lot of danger. Now, the scripture says our faith will bring protection. Amen? He calls it, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of salvation. Your faith will be a shield around you. What is the shield called when we talk about the armor of God? The shield of faith. In other words, the more faith I have, the greater the shield of protection that will be around us. Therefore, all I'm trying to say to you is this. It's imperative for all of us that we keep growing in our faith. You know, some people have this thing that, you know what, 20 years ago I accepted Jesus Christ and you know what, I'm okay. They don't try and grow. These are all the reasons why you should keep growing and growing and growing in your faith. Because the protection that you had when you just came to Christ and the protection that you have now, if you keep growing, is so much infinitely stronger. Because your faith has grown, the power of God in you has grown, the anointing upon your life has grown, there's much more protection. And everybody needs protection. Listen, yeah, you know what? I know for some people this is a strange concept, but there are demons out there. There's things such as witchcraft and sorcery and people with envy in their hearts and jealousy and bitterness and all sorts of stuff. And you know what? If we don't have the protection of God, all these things are going to touch us all the time. But the more we grow in faith, the less these things affect us. Why? Because our faith shields us and brings protection, brings preservation into our life. The next blessing that we have is that we are told that through faith we will inherit the promises of God. Hebrews chapter 6 verse 12 says, "We don't want you to become lazy, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherited what God had promised." In other words, it takes faith for you to inherit the promises of God. Raise your hands if you believe that in some way you have promises of God. Come on, if you have any promise of God, raise your hands. Now, let me tell you something. That promise of God is not a given. That promise of God is conditional. There are a couple of things that you need to meet for you to receive that promise, but one of the things that you need to have, the Bible says, we must imitate those who through faith and patience inherited what God has promised. And let me tell you something, those are two things that most people are lacking, faith and patience. The promises of God don't come when you want them. The promises of God comes when He gives them. And His time is always right. Even though you convince yourself that it's not. You don't see the future. You don't know what's going on. But God does. Patience is very important. There's a scripture somewhere, I forget where it is, but where God speaks to a prophet and He says to the prophet, "You saw a vision. Take your vision and write it down on tablets. Take those tablets and put it up all over the city and let the people continuously read those promises so that through that they will keep it in remembrance and they will not forget. And even though the promises may take time before they come to pass, keep looking at the promises and don't give up because they will surely come to pass." And you know what? To me, that's how God speaks to us. God gives promises because that is in your future. But you don't know, is it in 5 years? Is it in 10 years? You don't know, is it in 20 years? Your responsibility is two things. Be patient. In other words, don't grumble and complain if it takes longer than you thought. And secondly, don't allow doubt and unbelief to take you out of the running. Because there's a lot of people that received beautiful promises from God, but they died without seeing them because they gave up on their patience and they gave up on their faith. And then the last promise I'm just going to read to you quickly comes from the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 3 verse 14. It says, "Jesus redeemed us in order that the blessings given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, and that by faith we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit." Probably one of the greatest promises that we have and blessings that come because of our faith is the infilling of the Holy Spirit of God. And for those of you that don't really understand the magnitude of this promise, the Holy Spirit of God is the very breath of God. The Holy Spirit of God is the power of God. When the Holy Spirit comes and makes His dwelling within us, the same power that was released when God said, "Let there be light," and boom, there was light, is now living in me. The same power that was released when God said, "Let the earth and the waters be divided," and something supernatural happened and the waters pushed themselves away, is now living in me. The same power that was manifesting when Jesus spoke to Lazarus and He says, "Lazarus, arise, come out," is now living in me. The same power that manifested when Jesus decided to take a stroll on the water and the disciples thought they were seeing a ghost is now living in me and living in you. The same power that allowed Jesus to heal the sick, to cleanse the leper, to raise the dead, to cast out demons, is now living in me and in you. That is the blessing of God. That is the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit. Now do you understand why Satan hates faith? Now do you understand why Satan will always try and attack your faith? Because faith is a problem for him. And you know what? Satan can't deal with men and women of faith because there comes a time when he just doesn't know what to do anymore. Because men and women of faith are unpredictable. Men and women of faith do things differently. Men and women of faith operate in the power of the spirit, not in the power of the mind anymore. You see, our minds are predictable to Satan, but our spirits are not. Our spirits are like the Holy Spirit. It's like the wind. Today I'm here, tomorrow I'm there. And the more we live by faith, the more we manifest the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So what should we do? We should allow God to help us to grow in faith. We should allow God to work with us. We should deal with our doubt, with our confusion, with our unbelief, with whatever. Because the more we get rid of that, the more we grow in faith. We should spend time receiving good instruction. We should allow the principles of the kingdom of God to be taught to us. We should allow the word of God to enter us because all of these things bring about more faith. We should patiently endure times of trials, tribulation, and testing because the Bible says we know that these things happen to allow us to grow, to first test our faith. But when we pass the test, we have more faith. Amen?
Amen.
Look at your neighbor and say,
today,
God gave you an opportunity
to grow in faith.
Work with him,
not against him,
and grow in your faith. Amen.
Amen.
Did anybody learn something? No. God is good.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Ladies, if you can help us, please.